Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, William Oates. Oh my god, damn, so damn good. I forgot my line already. I'm that damn good.
This is what happens when you're sober, remember?
Yeah, I'm sober, but I am the hot rod. And on the phone line, I have...
Sean Black, once again in the building. I had to get you good. You have to be sober for the next hour. So that's probably why you don't even remember who you are.
No, I don't. And on the other line, I have... I really don't know her name anymore. I forgot. Damn.
Tisha. Good night, everybody.
Good grief.
Damn.
Get him drunk, please. Come on.
We're the star of the show. She already she said good night. I mean, good evening. Good night. I'm done.
And you notice the difference between two sober people? Three sober people, actually. So, how about that?
I need to change that. Oh, well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call in for comments, questions, or what to get on my nerves and tell me how sober I am is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. And in the next 58 minutes, Tisha and Sean Black, are you ready to piss some people off?
Why not?
Let's go.
Why not?
All right. Wow, as always, I know I sound just like a book. Oh, Sean, want to make a quick shout-out or something?
Yes, I wanted to bring up something for those that don't know. Linda Brown Thompson, who is part of the landmark Brown versus Board of Education decision way back in 1954, she passed away at age 76. And the reason why I'm bringing it up as important is because it ended segregation in schools. Way back when she was in the third grade, she was a child in Topeka, Kansas, wasn't able to go to the segregated school, and she had to go to she wanted to go to an all-white school, which was five blocks from her, segregated school, 20 blocks away from her. Her father sued to get this taken care of, went through the Board of Ed, and in 1954, it was looked at as unconstitutional, going against the 14th Amendment in the Constitution. Everything was became a landmark decision, and Brown versus Board of Education was taken into place because her father took up the case for her suitor. So she is a very important, not just a footnote, but something that people should remember as we go forward.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Sean.
Can
Black
I say
for
something,
lesson.
Sean Black? Because you're
ahead.
Like in sync with me, because I had that written in my footnotes.
Oh my gosh.
And may I just say something on my part? Because you said everything that I wanted to say. She was age 76 and still also, you know, fighting for the cause. And it also kind of shows us what we're going to talk about later on tonight with the March for Our Lives, that, you know, the struggle may take a long time, but the outcomes do come.
Exactly. Now you can wake up, Hot Rod, and you can get back to talking about the hot.
Oh, my God. Y'all guys really just wasted 5 minutes of my life, you know. But, yes, I understand your concept, guys. Thank you, Ms. Brown, for all you have done. May she sleep in peace. See, I did say something nice. Now back to me, because it's about me. This is like a long introduction / question. I will start with Sean, then go to Tisha, but it's the same question introduction. This is called Pick Your Poison to Discuss. So in this past week, for example, last night we had Stormy Daniels interview on 60 Minutes about her alleged affair with Donald Trump. On this past Saturday, as Tisha mentioned, we had a March for Our Lives with youths, teachers, and other people march against for gun control. Also this past week, we have the in Austin, Texas, like maybe five or six mail bombing that happened against minorities. Also, this past week, we had another cop killing. A Sacramento cop killed Stephen Clark 20 times in his grandmother's backyard, and he had a cell phone in his pocket. Still suspicious about that. Also, we have Toys R Us, the toy company, going out of business. A lot of people are upset about that. Facebook make a big problem. They have a big problem with their privacy laws, and the hot rod is still sober. So, Sean Black, pick your poison, because it seems like we have a very busy week, you know?
Yeah. I think this is, we're going to have to make this like Wheel of Fortune. Just spin the wheel and find out what the heck to complain about to piss people off. How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll start off with the reaction to the march. And I think it's pertinent to find out, although, and Hot Rod and I have disputed this for many, many years on this show, you are of the mindset that protesting and those kinds of things don't work. I've always been of the mindset that a protest that leads to activism gets things started. Although it may not be something that opens the floodgates, at least it's something that starts a drip. And as they always say, pressure bursts pipes. If you get enough pressure going through a small clogged up pipe, that pipe will burst and that the contents will go everywhere to where it's supposed to go. That's what I think is pertinent to talk about. I thought that it was absolutely astonishing that 17 people killed in a school was able to forward this momentum toward getting politicians to look the right way towards getting something going when we talk about gun control, getting common sense gun legislation, laws that are already on the docket, and get that looked at. I think that's pertinent. Also pertinent is the fact that our president, who I've been calling President Evil to a couple of friends of mine, seems to have been completely tone deaf, pretty much ignoring the march. As a matter of fact, while the march was going on, the president was golfing in Mar-a-Lago. So I don't think anybody should be too surprised about that. And also the fact that we were able to, as I said before, to get this going and get the responses going. One thing that I did, I took a look at the coverage of the news networks that we're looking at, CNN, Fox, and also looking at how the rest of them came about. MSNBC, CNN, they did a pretty good job of just letting the news, letting the actual coverage speak for itself. I gave Fox News the benefit of the doubt, saying they have to cover it based on just the amount of it. For the most part, they had a couple of pictures that shown some of the footage, but then used the platform on Fox News to basically push what's wrong with this whole deal. And it's not about gun control. It should be about looking at people that have mental illness. So they did a complete left turn on the coverage that everyone else did. And I shouldn't be surprised.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I was pouring myself a drink while you were talking. Tisha, please entertain me and tell me, pick your poison, what you'd like to rant about. But most likely, I know you want to talk more about this lovely march of all the kids out there talking about gun control. They're going to stand up for their rights, blah, 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 blah.
I would. You know, I'm ready for this march. I think it's something that's important that's impacting this generation and the millions and millions that came out, not only the youth, but adults as well, teachers, parents. You had the elderly marching with them, which I thought was like a positive role models to this. You know, the election year is going to be coming up. Is it mid-elections, right? So some of them are going to be able to, they're going to be able to vote pretty much by the time before they graduate by that time, right? So I feel like they should keep this same energy going. Whether they're 18, 19, 25, keep this same energy going. As far as with activism, it's not something, if this is a cause that you really, really believe in, couple years from now, I don't want to see these same teens that's leading the march feel like they don't need to keep fighting for these gun laws. So this is something that I think they should keep this same energy as they're getting older. If things don't change by then, keep that same energy with you.
And the disgusting part about a lot of this is, as I stated before, just exactly how tone deaf a lot of the people on the Republican side sounded, including Rick Santorum, who was on Fox News, and basically, to paraphrase what he's saying, the kids should not be marching. They should be learning CPR. And that comment was met with consternation, anger, disgust, dismissiveness. The fact that he would even open his mouth and say something that divisive and dismissive, saying that, well, the marching isn't going to do anything on the docket, and they need to do these things, and if they learn CPR and save lives, it's sort of, you know, how about trying to prevent the gun violence in the first place? This is just another diversionary tactic by people that are, that have a quarter in the bank, so to speak, for this cause to continue. With the NRA, a hand in their pocket, getting all of the things that are going with the NRA and the NRA and the gun lobby, making sure that they do nothing to change the status quo, while at the same time continuing to profit off of what's been going on, this is not going to change. And to hear comments like that, it's ridiculous.
It's kind of interesting with his CPR comment that he said. Technically, they are doing CPR as they're marching, right? Because they're trying to save lives. So in that sense, we can say they are marching and doing CPR.
Yes.
Before I say my part to piss everybody off, because I'm going to speak the truth, I have to give it to K-Dog so he can run his mouth for a few minutes. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Hey, what's up, everybody? What's going on? Well, based on this weekend's march, I could say once again that the young people are standing up for something, and they have always stood up for something throughout history, but this one was to put a prevention on gun violence and to enforce gun laws. So you see, with that being said, I saw a lot of support from a lot of celebrities like Jennifer Hudson, Miley Cyrus, Paul McCartney, who made a very big statement when he talked about John Lennon, when he said, one of my best friends was shot and killed in gun violence. And so, like you said earlier today, T, when you have this year being the midterm elections, it is very important for these young people to go out there, and many of them are now turning out to register to vote this year. So will we see a different this year? Well, let's just hope so. And as for Rick Santorum, he is completely out of touch with what's going on. And like Sean and I had a conversation via text yesterday when we were talking about what do these politicians think. And like I said before, the NRA just doesn't get it. It's not about taking your guns away. It's about enforcing laws to prevent certain people from having certain guns. That's what they don't understand. Anyway, Hot Rod, you go ahead and take it away and piss people off.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, the march,
the pleasure
overall, I think, like T brought it up a while ago about the Women's March. Is this going to be just a trend? All this hype, all this young kids being motivated and talk about gun control and everything. Are we going to last? Are we going to do something now? Or are we going to die down by next year? Or, okay, there's yelling in the background. Or there will be another mass shooting. I'm like, what's the next step? I'm happy that all these quote-unquote younger generations are getting together, but Sean Black, where were all these so-called marches when we have all these cop killing going on? Instead of marches, we had a lot of protests. So I think I'm questioning the priorities of this young generation. So when mostly white people got killed, most of the kids was young and white, the whole country is speaking. But when our brothers and sisters, hold on, Don't start.
Right.
But when our brothers and sisters was getting killed, yes, there was riots and protests, but I don't see a country as a whole. Yes, there was little protests and hearing that different sides of the country, but not as a whole country. Why are a lot of people talking positive about that? Why are we still having cop killers just like Sacramento this past week? There was a protest that happened, but why isn't that part of gun control also? Don't we have cops out there who is abusing their power with the gun? I mean, yes, we all say NRA, but there's more points about, there's more problem with gun control than a lot of people are overseeing. Basically, I'm just saying the youth people, America as a country, need to get the priorities straight. You know, we're saying one thing, but we're doing another thing, or it just died down, and it's time till something else happens. But this is not the first time we've done gun control or marching or protesting. I'm not saying don't give up, but what's the next step? How long, Tisha, how long are we going to be marching? Till the end of time?
We can. Wasn't that what Dr. King did, until justice was served? And as you're going back to the cop killings and other marches, we don't know how they're organizing their stuff, and are they going to keep continuing, or are they getting tired? It's kind of like, remember when Kaepernick was kneeling and things like that? It was going
right
for a while, and then all of a sudden it stopped. So I believe that it's the people who are organizing your protests and things like that. You should keep the same energy.
Yes,
keep it
should.
Going
keep,
until
keep,
you
keep
get
the same
results.
Energy, Cisha.
Listen.
But what happens when someone get tired of it, and then, you know, some of the young people are like, you know what, this is not going anywhere.
But that's
I've
my
given
point.
Up, or I have better things to do.
That's
well,
my
you know
point.
What?
You have...
mm-hmm. Oh, sorry for
go
interrupting.
Ahead.
You see, and I've said this before on this show, the problem is that people do not keep the protest going. And I'm glad that you mentioned Dr. King, because you know what? Okay, the Montgomery bus boycott lasted for 381 days. 381 days the Montgomery bus boycott lasted. And also, let's not forget that this past Sunday, we remembered the 53rd anniversary of the Selma to Montgomery March. Those
mm-hmm.
are demonstrations that were taking place. Now, with the cop killings that have been going on for so long, the problem is that people could protest and make noise for one day and then go back to business the other. You got to keep the fight going. It's not about, oh, yeah, we're going to get angry one day and then do a protest, we march and stuff like that. No, you got to keep the fight going. If it means to go to your local politicians and bring the noise, do it. Don't just do it one day. Do it every damn day. And if it means boycotting, yes, you could organize a boycott. What you need to do is not agonize about the situation, is organize. That's
and,
what you need to be
before,
doing.
And before I go to Sean Black, will you guys believe that politicians and the government love marches and protests? Do you believe
of course
that?
They do. Of course they
and
do.
I don't think they
reason,
do.
Yes, they do. The reason why they love
they find
love
it entertaining.
The marches? And entertainment at the same time, they make money out of it too, believe it or not.
Yeah.
They make money. Mm-hmm. So the more people protest, people have to pay for transportation, people have to pay for food, people have to pay for other items. Everybody's making money, so go ahead, protest every day. And those same
okay,
kids
but is it worth it for
protest,
the cause?
Listen, in the bottom line, like I say all the time, and Sean Black said it every time, money talks, BS walks. I'm
yeah.
sorry. It's absolute truth. And Sean, do you think that all the mass shootings that's been happening, do you think that NRA is fully to blame on this?
They may not be fully to blame, but they get a huge part of the responsibility in this. The
mm-hmm.
money...
I'm sorry, before you finish that, reason why someone brought up to me to explain it better, the NRA, of course, promote guns. But the NRA had never put guns into the mass shooter's hands and said, go out and kill people. Go out and take
okay,
lives.
Okay, true.
Go ahead,
yeah.
Sean.
That is the position that they will take. Because if they take any other position, they will be looked at as accomplices to murder. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to do that. The
mm-hmm.
NRA initially was created to give gun rights to people that legally wanted to go and get guns and was supposed to teach proper gun etiquette, use, storage, etc. That was the premise behind the NRA. And in that instance, there's nothing wrong with it. But when you have more guns in this country than you have people living in it, something's wrong. And when you look at the NRA and how culpable they are with the, not just the money that comes in that they're getting in lobbying with politicians and those kinds of arguments that we've already talked about, but also the indignant tone that they take when they talk about defending their own rights as far as everybody's going to take our guns away. Nobody is talking about changing the Second Amendment. No one has talked about going into your house and taking your guns. All anyone has talked about is intelligently removing the excess guns that are out there, making sure that the wrong people don't have a gun, and making sure that the ones that do have guns pass background checks, don't have some sort of mental illness that will debilitate anyone to make sure that they don't have the guns in their possession, and make sure that those don't cross and hurt and kill people that don't have this in their own radar. And the problem with this is if you've seen these things that the spokeswoman for the NRA, Dana Loesch, has said, and Wayne LaPierre, who's the president of the NRA, and all of the other people, the talking heads, and then the politicians like Marco Rubio and some of the others that seem to be in lockstep with these people, and talking about not just people, victims. We're talking about people who have had friends die in front of them, and they are talked down to as if that they had it coming almost. Maybe that's not what they actually mean, but this is how it comes across as completely tone-deaf and insensitive. And the Rick Santorum comment comes across as completely tone-deaf to the people that all they want
to
bring their kids to school and come home the next day. That's it. They want to come home from school. Nobody wants to go to school and say, well, this might be the last time I see my son or the last time I see my daughter. You've got two kids, Hot Rod. Now, they are, they may not be of school age as far as like public school or whatever the case, but I'm pretty sure that would be a very hard pill to swallow if you you bring your kids to school and at any point you say, you know what, my kid might not come home because somebody in school may actually have a gun. Something's wrong there when that's the case.
And, okay, and for the record, last week when we did talk about the school shooting and everything, what happened the next day? Sean, I texted Sean and told him I don't want to talk about it. Another school shooting happened the next day.
In Maryland, exactly.
In Maryland. And in Brooklyn, when I told the guys, a girl or a student got caught with a gun in the bag. Because the student forgot the gun was in the bag, but it was got caught at a metal detector. So, once again, they did a walkout of a school shooting, but kids are still bringing guns to school. So, isn't there like an oxymoron somewhere in that picture, Keisha?
It's an oxymoron, and then it needs to have the congressman wake up and see what's going on, if they can see.
Exactly.
Right, the reason why
we need restrictions.
This is why I brought this up, guys, that people fail to realize this overall. Yes, you can bring up gun laws, you can bring up restrictions and everything about gun control, but people forget that you still could get guns. You don't have to go to a gun shop. You still could get guns off the street. I could go to Sean Black, give it $500, and get a gun right there, or R-A-15. It doesn't have to be a gun shop. People could get guns everywhere now, you know. And people seem to forget about that. You can say you can curse out the NRA all you want, but if I want a gun, there's ways to get it.
But it's a difference between
you
getting it legally and illegally, and the illegal guns. You understand what I'm saying? There's still restrictions on that. They can get their hand on it, but are they going to use it in order to get caught? That should be a question.
Listen,
if
I
want to bring up.
Hold on. If I still want to get a gun, whether legal or illegal, I will get a gun. Whether it's for protection or revenge, bottom line, I will get a gun. And there's no way of stopping or getting a gun, no matter what state you're in. Yes, K-Dog.
Okay. It's the problem is, it's the kind of guns that people are buying. Because how is it that you could walk into a store and purchase an AR-15? And an AR-15 is a military-style gun. No civilian
sure,
should be
having.
No,
a civilian. Gun is a gun. What do you get, a 45 or AR-15? A gun is a gun. A gun still go out. You still could use a weapon to go out and kill people. What's
exactly.
The difference between a gun and a knife? Well, you're saying that there should be gun restrictions, right?
Yeah, because you know what? You can't – listen, we're civilians. What business do we have that we have to purchase an AK-47? What business do we have that we have to purchase an AR-15? Those are military-style guns. The only guns that people are allowed to have should
that's
be –
that's your opinion,
the,
though. Keep that in mind. That's your opinion. But as Sean stated earlier, the point of NRA job is to teach how to store guns, clean guns. If people love guns, no matter what gun it is, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but overall, people don't see it that way, and that's the problem, K-Dog.
Yeah, but that's what I'm getting to. See, people are missing the point. They're missing the point because that's why some places don't believe in doing background checks. They never do. Someone could have an arm-length criminal record, and they could walk into a store and say, hey, let me get that AK-47. Okay, here, it's yours. How many times have we heard these cases going on, Hot Rod? Let's face it, how many times have we heard about these mass shootings, and we hear the person walked into the store and purchased the gun with no questions asked?
Okay, but
you
what
see,
about
I'll piggyback
New York?
On
time
that.
Again?
I'm going to piggyback
on
that point.
Sean, hold on one second.
Go ahead.
But K-Dog, in New York have one of the strictest gun laws. People still have guns. People still have RE-15s. How? They get it from other places. So whether it's legal or not,
people
have access to guns. No, hold on. People have access to guns. That's my bottom line. No matter how hard you would try, you could try to fight as much as you can. People have access to guns. Go ahead, Sean.
But also
here
in New York City, don't forget here in New York City, you also have the gun smugglers that smuggle guns from other states that bring them here. Sean, you were going to say something, bro?
Yeah. Also remember, and this is something that a lot of people aren't bringing up as much, is that former President Obama actually had a law on the books that made sure that people with mental illnesses and mental disorders could not get background checks, that would get the background checks, could not get guns. President Trump repealed a lot of that. That law was in the books, I believe it was in 2015. When Trump got into office, he repealed that one of those particular laws that was on the books. So when you have things like that happen, it's kind of hard to not look at the fact that the NRA is in the pockets of a lot of these politicians.
Yes,
and
they
in
are.
Kind, the politicians go ahead and make sure that anything that would lead to a negative towards a gun sale is not there. Now, to get to your point, Hot Rod, as far as the guns are there, that is true. And when you do make laws and change laws to try to enforce these kinds of things, it may take legislative time. But as we've seen with President Trump signing in bills and executive orders for things that would pass in 2 weeks, 3 weeks' time, it could be done to get guns off of streets and do certain things to at least minimize the amount of death and strife that happen through these kind of gun violence. The issue is the effort there? Is he going to get the support from his, remember, he has the House, has the Senate, Congress, all Republican as far as the majority. Is somebody going to go in and write a law that's going to help do that without some agreeance from his own party? That's what's going to be the problem. And this is the reason why the kids that were on in this entire march are basically saying the politicians better do their jobs before somebody, one of these kids, does their jobs for them by voting. A lot of these kids are going to be a voting age by the time they graduate. When November rolls around, those kids that they've talked down to the Rick Santorums and the Dana Loaches and the Wayne LaPierres and all that talk, once they talk to them, these same people are going to have the power to vote out a lot of these politicians that don't want to get anything done. And that's
yes,
where
they are.
Okay, I have Richie Nicholas, and he said, you got to love these kids. They don't realize that they are protesting to make themselves weaker and the criminals stronger. Apparently, they don't need protection. Idiots. How do you feel about that statement, Tisha? Basically, according to people that's out there protesting,
yeah,
a bunch of idiots.
Wow. So when we corrected segregation and everything, were those protesters idiots? Things don't happen overnight, and that's the point that I'm making. It's not going to happen
exactly
overnight. This is just the start. This is the seed that's planted. So what I'm saying, I want to see them continue this same energy as they get older. If this means that much to you, continue the same energy. And I see them doing that because look at how much millions of them. It's not just the youth that came out. It's adults as well. And that's my point. People obviously do care. When teens are talking about every time they have one of those drills, they're panicking. Is this a real shooting? Is it not? These are things that's affecting them not only socially but emotionally. You know what I mean? So I feel like they need
mm-hmm.
to keep this same energy going. I don't think they're idiots at all.
I agree with exactly what you just stated, and as I said before, it's going to take time
mm-hmm.
for a lot of this stuff to work out. Now, looking at the response from the White House, because we know that President, as I just stated a little earlier, he was at Mar-a-Lago golfing and wanted no part of the march. But this is what the White House printed out. Quote, "We applaud the many courageous young Americans exercising their First Amendment rights today. Keeping our children safe is a top priority of the president's, which is why he urged Congress to push the Fix NICS and Stop School Violence Acts and sign them into law. Additionally, Friday, the Department of Justice issued the rule to ban bump stocks, following through on the president's commitment to ban devices that turn legal weapons into illegal machine guns." That was the quoting from the White House. Not the president, but the White House.
Right.
Bump stocks,
well,
that makes sense. That works because we don't need to see regular handguns turn into machine guns. That's basically what it does. It's a little bit in the right way, but it's not going to be enough. Because although you may have, you're going to ban bump stocks, and although you're going to try and do certain things, we're still not talking about background checks. We're still not talking about assault rifles. We're still not talking about ammunition and making smaller ammunition clips, et cetera.
But why?
Those are the kinds
of
things
that
need
to be done. But why make smaller ammunition? If this country loves their guns, why we need to change? You got some changes already. Not like they didn't do anything. They did something. So you tell me you guys want more? You want more changes?
I'll answer it with this question to you, Hot Rod. If you know your children are going to go to a school and somebody is going to come to the school with a particular gun, and you knew that either that gun was banned or there was some sort of limit to what ammunition could be bought, would you be complaining about not enough, or would you be complaining about we need more to either avoid the amount of death or to completely avoid death altogether? You answer me that question, and I think you'll get the answer you're looking for right there.
Well, apparently you asked me a very stupid question, because the answer is, of course I want more action to take place. But once again, they need to be done. It was not going to be done because this country loves its guns more than our children. That's about my
true.
Yes, we need progress. Yes, we need change. I'm not arguing about that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying we need different ways to attack this problem, because it's a problem. And protest is not going to help out. If, like you mentioned last week, the sponsorships have went down. if people will stop buying, for example, FedEx packages where they sponsor the NRA, that's an action, that's a step right there. Like Cato mentioned, voting, that's
economic boycott.
An economic boycott.
Because you know what?
That is a
you
key
gotta
thing.
Hit them.
Go ahead.
You gotta hit them when the, you gotta hit them where it hurts. Because let's face it, the NRA has a lot of financial support from those big corporations. A lot of support. And of course, like you mentioned earlier, and Sean and I were talking about this the other day, that the NRA has these politicians in Washington in their back pockets. Let any of these politicians go ahead and say anything against the NRA, against you know, say we support gun control. What do you think? They're going to say, oh, we're not financing your next election. You think we're going to finance your next election? You're speaking up against us? They're going to shut them down. So, of course,
like
they've got to support
Black,
the NRA.
Like you mentioned, Sean Black, Donald Trump was out golfing. That shows he doesn't care of what's going
he
on.
He doesn't care.
The president of the United States doesn't care about the kids. If he doesn't care, he represents a lot of those people that's in power right now. They don't care about us.
Listen, it's not about Russia. He doesn't care about anything. Have you not noticed?
He doesn't care.
Exactly.
What does he care?
So it's,
because you know what?
I'm just going to say it.
What does he care? He could give two hoots about what's going on.
But you fed Donald Trump real estate money, he will say something right away, guaranteed. But
no, because you know
that,
what? Since he's a media whore, he'll take to Twitter right away to make any comments. Now, of course, with the whole Stormy Daniels situation, he's not saying
anything about
that.
He's kind of hushed on that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's keeping quiet.
And he's been remarkably quiet since the last couple of days about that, also. But I digress.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah. But
especially after the 60 Minutes interview, you should have tweeted already.
Mm-hmm.
Some.
Mm. Yeah, I see that as a distraction in the media world, because who cares about an affair? Like, he's the first, won't be the last politician.
Wait, I care.
Oh, I care.
I just want to know. I'll tell you why. I just want to know that he has his toupee on or off.
I think it was on.
No.
I think the toupee was on. That's guaranteed. You know,
I don't care.
The better question was, did he leave any Dorito stains, orange stains on the pillow?
That's what I'm saying.
Part I want to know. But
I
want to
know if he left
topic.
That.
I want to go to the next topic, because talk about money.
Please.
Talk about children. In the state of Delaware, they're trying something different with the new child support system, because we all know child support is very broken. It needs a lot of fixing, just like the gun control. But in Delaware, and last week we did talk about Kevin Federline wanting more money from Britney Spears. God damn it.
Green logo.
But Delaware is trying to do something different of putting child support money in a form of an EBT card. So basically, the money will go to a card and it will be used as a transaction to keep track of all the transactions that's happening. No, and also, the parent who has not the EBT card, the child support card, can I use a card towards liquor, leisure time, gas,
Netflix,
you know. In other words,
Hulu.
They want them to be more responsible with the child support money. Tisha, how do you feel about this system? Do you think there's a step moving forward? In the child support system, because I'm sure we all heard many stories of child support nightmares.
Well, I'm going to start off with what you said as far as in the form of the EBT card. Even your EBT card, they can't even regulate that, because I hear people always selling their food stamps and things like that. So as far as with this being on a card, I look at it like this. If you don't want the government in your business, you guys as parents should sit down and figure out how we're going to do this. And the parent that has to pay that child support should know, you know, how they want to spend the money on the child, if that's the case, if you feel like you have to regulate your person. Because I feel like with this card, it's kind of like I'm forced to kind of have regulations on top of regulations. We just went to court. This is the money that's awarded to the child. A parent should have the knowledge, the common sense to use this money for the child and only that. So to say that I'm going to regulate you with the CBT card, I mean, the CBT type form card, it's not fair. A decision has made. That's like saying if a person was found innocent of a crime, you're still treating them like if they're guilty. You know what I mean? So I don't think that this should be something that should even be started, because to me this looks like more confusion for the future. Because let's say if I'm short $100 until my next paycheck and I need to use this child support money that I do have access to, am I allowed to use it for to pay that $100 that I'm short for in my rent? Who's the father to tell me that I can't do that, being that it's the roof for my child? You understand what I mean? I look at it different. I'm not going to go shopping for shoes off of this child support, but you do have some parents that do that. Don't forget that sometimes when people come before child support, they're very bitter towards the other person. So those emotions go into all of this. If you guys can, you know, be, how can I say, you can be cordial enough to set up an agreement that these are the terms without having the courts in it, then you'll be okay. But if you want to get the courts involved, and now this is something that the courts want to come up with, regulations on top of something that's been already, you know, decided, I don't think it's fair.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
A lot came out.
That's a lot to unpack. There you go.
Okay.
You let it all out.
I know, right?
He let it all out.
It's not like she's been holding it for a while tonight.
Tell it, Tisha. Reach it.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's where the hot rod comes out. Certain parts of what, I believe it's certain parts of what Tisha said. But once again, you have the females that abuse this. Oh, I'm sorry. When I mean females, I do mean people overall, but. And, you know, in the child support, people look at the females overall compared to male. It was the majority of male to female, but you look at most females and guys who abuse the child support system, and as a payback towards their partner, they use the money for their personal being, and you know what? I need more money. And that's where confrontations come in. Yes, I agree. There should be like a sit-down, be cordial, but let's be honest. If there's friction and there's hatred towards each other, that's not going to happen.
Oh, man.
So maybe this is what they're going to do.
You're right about that.
Exactly. There's a lot of drama in the fracture. So if a girl hates me, which we know everybody hates me, but we got kind of
that's a shock.
You know, I have my moments, you know. I kind of like piss a few people off, especially females. What can I say?
Oh, my goodness.
If we cannot sit down and come to agreement, even in the court system, maybe EBT call will come along. Because I don't mind, Tisha, I don't mind if you use the money, like you say, to put rent, to pay for the rent over my child's head. You know, there's some things that are very understandable. And you know what? Maybe you might go through a financial trouble. You may lose a job or whatever, or something comes up. Things happen. But when you're still constantly asking for, if I give you child support, and then you come back asking me for more money, and I keep asking, what are you doing with that money? That's none of your business. I'll do what I want. But do not use the money to buy yourself a drink or because you know, you're the mother of the child. Don't use the money to buy yourself a nice steak dinner.
Right, and I think that's where that bitterness comes in. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And as a guy, I see that as a attack towards me. Like, you know what? This is an F you. You know, you give me the $300 a week, I'm going to use it for my time because I'm taking care of your child 5 days a week while you got him or her on the weekends, you know. It's like I'm paying
because
you to watch
what?
My
it's
child.
A stuck in, it's a middle finger in your face. That's what people don't realize.
And Sean?
I really don't know how I should feel about this. What this seems to me is it's taking the adults away from the discussion and just trying to simplify everything as opposed to having two grown adults speak about some sort of compromise. You have 1, 2, 3 children. Somebody's got the custody of the children, or you're co-parenting and one person has one child, the other person has another, whatever the arrangement is. If you cannot come to some kind of a compromise monetarily, then something is wrong. And if you're doing more and more to take the control out of the parents' hands and leaving it into the court system, this is where you're going to have a lot more consternation between the parents themselves and over who gets what, when, and where. Now, we've heard, like you just stated before, we've heard a ton of nightmares about people getting money from child support and using it for God knows what. So it's a matter of now another layer of protection to try to take it away from the people. If you are going to basically have children, and if things don't go the right way and you're at the point where you are now trying to legislate how much money you're getting and you need arbitration to find out who gets what, when, and where, the best thing to do would be to talk amongst yourselves, get some kind of a budgeting plan, figure out what makes the most sense between you, the partner, and the children. Because the second you get the courts involved, somebody is going to get their feelings hurt. And if you're going to be putting money on a card, Lord knows what can happen. Card is what if the card is stolen? Then what are the stat money reclaimed? If the money can't even be reclaimed, where does the money come from? Who is responsible for it? There's so many more things that are going to happen that you open up Pandora's box and you cannot close it after it's open. These are the kinds of things that you're going to have to sift through when you're going through putting all the child support, $8,000 or whatever the judgment is, and putting it on a card for one person to have.
$8,000? You trying to kill me? Damn.
Yeah. Oh,
there
are people that
have a lot more money than what some probably even make end up putting it as child support.
And you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because you know what? I just wanted to add one more thing. Think about how a lot of guys with a whole lot of money are going to be crying broke within a couple of years with all those children that they keep having all these children with different women. You're going to be in the poorhouse before you know it with all that money.
That's what contraception is for.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's what condoms are for.
Well, let's be honest. Let's say, do you see conflict between, let's say, like you said, a father with three different women with three different kids? I'm like, should they divide each money to each child, or one should get more than the other because of the age difference? It's like, how can you work that out? Is three people getting three different cards, or is one card for all three?
And child support is so different in so many different cities and states that what applies in one area doesn't apply to another area. And let's say you live in Arizona, where child support laws are completely different than from New York, than what it is in Dallas, what it is in Florida. And you have one parent living in one area and another parent living in another, and they both have children. The child support laws are going to be completely different depending on who's living where, when, and why. And that's the reason why it's pertinent, germane to this argument, that the negotiations have to start between the two partners involved and not get the courts involved, because then you'll have this kind of craziness all over the place.
Yeah, and then if they did get the courts
I was just gonna say
if they have to get the courts involved, because you have some people that are so bitter they can't speak, know that when that judgment is made, you're not gonna try to regulate now what I'm gonna do with this money. So if you don't want to do it that way, let's figure something out before we go to court.
Well, I think that's what I'm about to ride on, Tisha, because the court system, as a lot of guys told me, favors the mother. Because there have been so many stories of quote-unquote deadbeat fathers, you know, going to court is like one of the worst things right now. And sometimes it doesn't work towards the female's advantage, because they say there's only 17% get taken out from a man's check. Sometimes 17% is not enough. You need more. But when the judge takes place, you'd be lucky you have a good judge, or you might be bad, not in good luck, to get a bad judge who's in a bad mood to decide to take 50% of your check straight to the card. Bottom line, the system is broken. No,
yes, it is.
And a lot of people complain.
And certain laws for certain child support cases is that the father or the male that is working, they're only supposed to take a percentage of what you make, but a percentage that is large enough that it satisfies the child support, but also so that the person that they're taking the money out of can actually support themselves. They don't want anybody to go into bankruptcy or being poor commensurate with what they make. So they have that percentage. Like I said before, it's different depending on where you live.
Well, bottom line, Tisha, you better not take me to court because you ain't going to get nothing from me. You hear me?
I'm taking you first thing tomorrow morning. Let's go.
No, but you know what's funny? I'm glad you guys are mentioning this because, you know what, there is a bunch of guys out there. Why do you think some guys, and mind if I say this before we jump into the next topic, some guys, they go ahead and get these women pregnant, and why do you think some of them choose to be unemployed? Because they're afraid of what's going to come out of their paycheck. I just want to throw that out there.
Well, that's when the welfare checks come in and we have to pay for it with our taxes. Hello.
Yeah. There's a bunch of guys that do that.
Oh, to my last topic, this was a question that was said to me. I'm throwing it to all three of you guys. It's a little bit of a true story. There's a third grade teacher that has a picture of him and his husband on his desk. The children have inquired about it and asked questions. Parents say that they have no issues with his sexuality, but he should not have the picture of his on his desk for the children to see, and they have gone to the principal about the situation. Do you agree with the parents? Should the principal make him remove the picture? Start with Tisha.
I agree. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I say Tisha.
Okay, Tisha, go ahead. I just said go ahead.
I don't think the picture should be put up because times have changed now with pictures being put up in school and things like that. So he could keep that picture at home. And it's not due to the fact that, okay, it's him and his husband. I just feel like pictures, period, should not be at school. Let's focus on teaching. These kids don't need to ask questions about anybody's pictures.
Okay. Sean Black?
That's actually a pretty good question. If you're the teacher and you're bringing in a picture of family life, if you want to avoid the attention that it gets, and this happens with heterosexual teachers that bring in pictures of a husband and a wife, if you don't want to have the questions asked and you don't want it to be a distraction, then you can keep the picture in your desk. You don't have to bring it to you. Keep it in your own personal office if you have one. Times have changed. I don't think that it's as much of a problem as the only time it becomes a problem is if the children that are already there have not been briefed or taught about same-sex relationships from their own parents. And I think we talked about this as a topic some time ago about the parents having the right to teach that to their kids and not the teachers or the school. So if that you want to avoid, you can just leave that home or in the desk or whatever is the case, and then see the sensitivity of it. And how old did you say that the kids were?
It didn't say. We're like a young, like third grade, something like that.
Okay.
Very young.
I think third grade is almost old enough to maybe broach the topic if it hasn't been broached previously. But if you want to avoid the awkwardness of the discussion, especially, like I said, if other parents haven't had that discussion, they want to have that discussion themselves, as opposed to having that discussion at school, then you would probably say, well, let's just avoid some sort of issue and we'll discuss it then. Or the teacher could just talk to the principal and find out, is this okay for me to bring this to school and see where it goes from there.
Okay, Kato, quickly, what's your thoughts? Because I have to go to Brother B after this.
Okay, well, you shouldn't bring that kind of, I'm not saying anything against, you know, being that he's married to his partner, but however, you shouldn't bring that kind of picture in front of children. You know, I would ask the principal first, because children, you shouldn't show it to them that early. Wait until they're teenagers. That's all I got.
Okay, and thank you. And we have Brother B in the house. He wants to talk
about
that.
What's up, Brother B?
What up, everyone? Hello.
Hey, what's
going on?
Greetings and salutations. What's going on? What's the topic? What y'all talking about? I just got off the
track. Well, two things. You could talk quickly. The child support on a EBT card, they're going to start in Delaware. as a way to keep track of transactions, you saw the video on social media. And also, a teacher had a picture of him and his husband on the desk, and some parents did not like that, saying that they have no problem with homosexuality, but that's not a place to be displaying to young kids.
Okay, first thing about the child support. Listen, it's a touchy subject with me, but yeah, I think with some people, I think that they should keep track of their spending habits. I mean, you're talking to a person who's spent $64,000 and I owe $22,000 on child support, and I've never been a deadbeat because the system is broken. It's, you know, certain states are anti-father and they're pro-mother. And, you know, hey, my kid's mother didn't have a house until what, after I became $50,000 in. So I don't, and she doesn't work. And she collects child support from two fathers. Not to say there's anything against her. I mean, she did work, but things just got convenient for her to just not work anymore when she started getting money. So you take it, how you want. You know, yeah, I mean, it's a hustle. It's a hustle. Like I said, I know women out there that only get $50 a week or $50 a month. Why is the court not after those fathers? You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? It's like they pick it. It's like they pick and choose who they want to screw with. And if they know that you're a responsible father, they're going to get you. If they know that you're irresponsible, then they don't care. I mean, I've been threatened by the judge. Oh, I'm going to throw you in jail. So how you going to throw me in jail and I'm paying? Oh, well, you're not paying as quick as you should be paying. I'm like, really? Wow. In terms of the second topic, listen, I remember when I was young, there's certain things you just didn't see on TV and you just things you just didn't know about. I remember when your parents wasn't even, like, really kissing in front of you like that. I think we're exposing the children to too much too quickly, and then we wonder why they're growing up so fast. I know times have changed, you know, things are getting different, but one thing, the innocence of a child should stay innocent. Like, we're robbing them of that because I think we're putting too much on their plate of what they see on TV and what's on social media and the fact that, you know, mommy and daddy or mommy or daddy, everybody has to go to work and who's around for them. So I think we're just putting a little bit too much on their lap.
Or daddy, daddy now, or mommy and mommy now.
But that's the thing. Listen, your personal life is your personal life. You know what I'm saying? Like certain things like that, you should keep to yourself. If you got a personal space, then you keep that stuff in your personal space. I don't think that anybody should be exposing whether they're straight or whether they're, you know, alternative. Like putting that out for kids to see. It'd be different if it was a room full of junior high school or high school students, but little kids, no, because you don't know what they have been exposed to, and when those questions start coming up, that's when confusion happens.
And that's when your son or your daughter, who's 5 years old, come up to you, "Daddy, Daddy, I want to be a girl." I'm like, "Excuse me?
Oh my goodness,
you're a boy, okay?"
Good Lord.
Yeah, but then they're making laws. They're trying to pass bills where they can turn around and say, "Oh, well, if that's what your child chooses to be, then that's what your child wants to be, then that's what's this."
No.
And you can't stop that.
I'm a firm believer. In the end, you do what you want with your life. Whether you was born a male or a female at a certain age, that's who you are, a male or female. Unlike Sean, he's my sensitive bitch because, you know, I know him for 20 years for being my sensitive bitch. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
anything else? Anything else you want to add on, Brother B, before we sign off?
Nah, I'm just, you know, there's been a lot going on in the news, man, and it's just a sad state of affairs, you know, with in between, you have to worry about your kids. I mean, I was just talking to my lady a few minutes ago before I got on the train. Guy punches a 5-year-old on the train, and Listen, you just would have had to lock me up too. Because I would have jumped in his ass. This is a 5-year-old kid, man. Like, what is it you're coming to? You want to take pictures of people on the tracks? You want to take pictures of the guy running or this, that, and the third? But whatever happened to be proactive in protecting, you know, the kids? Like, it's a 5-year-old kid, innocent. Nobody did anything. It's bad enough you got to worry about getting shot, and you got a cell phone in your hand. Like, it's too much going on, man. And I think we really need to start to slow down a bit. I think we're moving a little bit too fast for ourselves.
Yeah, chill out.
We really need to slow down and take account.
Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you guys for being on the show. Have a good night, y'all. Take care.
Good night,
everyone. Thank you.
The pleasure is all yours. Good night, everyone.
Later.
Later.